singing. You are a great physician. You can heal anybody of anything.
Amen.
Father, we just ask for that now. Lord, for us here or those that are watching, I just pray that you would show us something from your word this morning now as we look into it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Okay, let's go to Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 9. In verse 1, Romans 9, 1, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart, for I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law, and the service of God, and the promises, whose are the fathers, and of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, God blessed forever. Amen. So here we find the Apostle Paul just showing us his heart for his people, the Jews, to be saved. And at first reading of this, we might wonder, this really doesn't sound like the Christian life, what it should be. Does it? In verse 1, he says, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and what? Continual sorrow in my heart. Now, that's normally not how we think of the Christian life, is it? I mean, we know that we all face trials and we all face sorrows and we all face hardships, but he said, I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. But we often think about, notice, with, hold your place here, Matthew 11, we often think about that it's Christ that lifts the load. And he's talking about he has this continual sorrow in his heart and this great heaviness. Matthew 11, verse 28. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are what? Heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find what? Rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is what? Light. So we often come to these verses and say, Lord, you know, I have this great need. I have this heavy burden. I need to get in the yoke with you. I need your help to lift this. But as you go back to Romans chapter 9, in verse 2, Paul is saying, I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. If we didn't read on, we would say, why, Paul? Why aren't you committing these promises to your own heart that God gives peace and will take away that sorrow and that heaviness? Notice, let's look at some verses on peace. Let's look at Isaiah chapter 26. Isaiah 26. And verse 3, here is a great promise for us. Isaiah 26 and verse 3. Thou wilt keep him in what? Perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Boy, that's what we need. There are so many in this world that are so without peace. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. So you might ask the question, okay, well, Paul, if you have this continual sorrow and heaviness, are you not keeping your mind stayed on the Lord? Let's look at Isaiah 48. Isaiah 48. And verses 17 and 18, Isaiah 48, 17. Thus saith the Lord thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to profit, which leadeth thee by the way that thou shouldst go. Oh, that thou hadst hearkened to my commandments. Then had thy peace been as a river, and thy righteousness as the waves of the sea. Do you like to have like a peaceful sound going on when you go to sleep? They make some machines that have just all kinds of noises. Some of them are waves. Some of them they just call white noise. Some is just a fan. There's another one I was looking at, and it was a heartbeat. And I thought, go to sleep listening to an amplified heartbeat? I thought, I don't know about that one. And then another of the sound was a thunderstorm. And I thought, a thunderstorm? Does a thunderstorm give anyone peace? Maybe some it does, I don't know, but it wouldn't me. When there's a thunderstorm, I'm just waiting for the next crack of lightning. And that just keeps me awake. It doesn't help me go to sleep. Another was a locomotive, a train. Would that put you to sleep? I'd probably have a dream that I was crossing, you know, the train tracks, and the train was coming, and I was stuck on the track or something, you know. So it's kind of some strange noises they have. They do have waves coming in. That was kind of peaceful. There are some other really different ones. I thought, really, people go to sleep with those kind of noises. But we think here about God's peace. Verse 18, oh, that thou hast hearkened to my commandments, then had thy peace been as a river, and thy righteousness as the waves of the sea. I could not take you to the house exactly, but down south, somewhere on the Flat River, and I think it's probably in the, it'd be Baker Road. Somewhere, Baker Road, in there, a little east or south, we've been calling in there, and there is someone that has a house beside the Flat River, and there's rocks right there, and it's just the rippling of the brook, the rippling of the water. That's kind of a peaceful sound, and the Lord compares that to peace, the sound of a river there. So, but Paul, because of his people not being saved, had heaviness. But let's continue to look at a few verses on peace. Still, Isaiah 32. There's a lot. I'll be sharing with you a little bit later about our nation. There's not much peace in America, that's for sure right now. But Isaiah 32:17. And the work of righteousness shall be what? Peace. So if we find ourselves not having peace, here's a good thing to ask. What work of righteousness could I do? What would the Lord have me to do to bring forth peace? And the work of righteousness shall be peace. And the effect of righteousness, what does it say? Quietness and what? Assurance forever. So what a verse. Verse 17, and the work of righteousness shall be peace. So if I'm not at peace, what work of righteousness could I do? And the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. So many times, maybe we don't have peace in our minds is because maybe we're worried about this or that. But if we could get involved in doing something for the Lord, doing something for His righteousness' sake, the effect is quietness and assurance. And then in Isaiah 55, You know, I love reading the book of Isaiah. I don't know about you, but in your reading through the Bible, but there are so many prophecies in the book of Isaiah, so many promises in the book of Isaiah that I really enjoy each time reading through this book. But Isaiah 55:10, we'll go down through 12. Isaiah 55:10. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. For ye shall go out with joy, and be led forth with what? Peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. So we think about the snow. This has been a kind of a different winter, hasn't it? We seem to get dumped on of snow or ice, and then it melts. And then a little bit later, several times I've thought about taking the snow tires off the van, and then we'll get dumped on, and I'll think, well, I'm glad I didn't take them off quite yet. But that snow, verse 10, coming down, waters the earth. I mean, we can be thankful that we are not in a drought. Think of the state of California, whose leaders shake their fists at God. They heavily push and promote sodomy and transgender things and abortion. You just wonder how many demons are circling over government offices in California. Just, it's horrendous, the things they come up with. But thinking about that, if you would hold your place here and go with me to Proverbs 9. So, California is one of those states, I believe, that has set a date where they're going to try to outlaw gas-powered cars. But notice in Proverbs 9:10, it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of what? Wisdom. And the knowledge of the holy is understanding. So the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And then also, if you'd go back to chapter 1, Proverbs 1, verse 7. So the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. In Proverbs 1, 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of what? Knowledge. So knowledge is facts. We might have knowledge. I have knowledge that there are atoms, but I don't have the wisdom to build an atomic bomb out of those atoms. So the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. So the state of California now, I don't know if they set the date, if they passed it yet, but they're going to outlaw gas appliances. And it goes back to that message, a week ago Wednesday night? This fear, this irrational fear that carbon dioxide is going to warm up, it's going to destroy the ozone and warm up the earth, and the earth is going to flood and kill all of mankind. Isn't that strange? Because those are the same people that deny the Word of God. Those are the same people who are evolutionists. Those are the same people who deny a worldwide flood in the days of Noah, which spared only Noah and his family on the ark and killed the rest of the people on the earth because of their wickedness. Their imaginations were only evil continually. Those are the people that deny there ever was a flood, despite the fossil record, despite the rocks showing the sedimentary rocks put together, despite like in the Grand Canyon, the different layers put down by water. They deny that, and yet they're using the rainbow colors to put forth their perversion. But those same rainbow colors were given by God as a promise, the rainbow, that he's never going to destroy the world, the whole world, by a flood again. So they're always on the exact opposite of what God says. They're denying creation. They're denying the very God who created everything. They're denying his record that there was a worldwide flood that destroyed the world. And now they're denying his promise that the world is not going to be destroyed again by a flood. That's what they think it is going to be destroyed by the flood, because of carbon and carbon dioxide. And so anyway, do you see, that's why in that message I said this irrational fear of people does not seem to be going away. It only seems to be getting worse. So can you imagine that? Outlawing gas appliances. I mean, that's the cleanest burning fuel we have, is natural gas. Can you imagine outlawing that because of an irrational fear, an unbelief in what God promises? And yet that's the exact thing that man is doing. And once again, let's go to Genesis 8. Hopefully we'll be there enough where you can remember where it is and share it with people that are so fearful of this. But in Genesis 8:22, God said, "While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall what? Not cease." Very clear. And yet, you know, in the end, well, let's go to Proverbs 14:12. In the end, they are so afraid of death, but because they don't fear God, that's exactly what they will bring upon themselves. They'll bring upon themselves more pollution. And Proverbs 14:12, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of what? Death. So man is thinking, oh, as we talked about, got to get rid of these cows, got to quit eating meat because cows emit too much carbon dioxide and methane gas. And but as we saw in that message, what about alcohol? What about alcohol? A man, as gave the stats in that message, but a man who drinks 3 beers a day is going to consume and put out a ton of carbon dioxide a year. A cow only puts out 220 pounds of methane gas per se, on the average. But, you know, it's a funny thing. They want to outlaw our cars. They want to outlaw eating meat because cows emit too much methane gas. They want to outlaw fertilizers for the same reason. And yet, it's a funny thing. I have not heard any of them talk about outlawing alcoholic beverages because they are filled with carbon dioxide. Why is that? Because they're sinners. They don't want to give up their sinful things. That's why. So this world needs peace. Needs peace. Notice with me in Isaiah 57. Isaiah 57. How many of you have ever stood on the shores of Lake Michigan in your bare feet, letting the waves come up over your feet? Okay, what happens when you stand there in your bare feet on the sand of Lake Michigan and the waves come up and then they go back? What happens? It tries to pull the sand out from, like, under your feet. And notice that thought then in Isaiah 57:19. I create the fruit of the lips. Peace, peace to him that is far off, and to him that is near, saith the Lord, and I will heal him. But the wicked are like the troubled sea, when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. So the wicked, it's just a beautiful picture of standing there and seeing. It's an illustration of a wicked person's life, because they're standing upon sand. They're not on the foundation, Jesus Christ. And so the ways of the world ebb and flow, come in and go back up. Have you ever watched then when you're standing there on the shores of Lake Michigan, you're just watching. Not only can you feel it pull the sand out from around your feet, but you watch all the grains of sand go back, wash up on shore, and then you see all these grains of sand going back in the water. It's like the wicked, they're like the troubled sea. Notice in Matthew chapter 7, we just think about the unstable ways of the world. And we read in Matthew 7:13, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. And then if you drop down to verse 24, Matthew 7:24, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon what? A rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it what? Fell not, for it was founded upon what? A rock. That'll be one of the first things Brother Joe does. He'll put some rock, some cement down in that ground, and then build. Verse 26, and every one that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a what? A foolish man which built his house upon what? The sand. And the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it what? Fell. And great was the fall of it. So just like standing on the shore of Lake Michigan and the waves come and try to pull that sand out from beneath your feet, the same with the house. The winds blow, the rains come, and the house falls. And that is what is happening in America. It wouldn't have to, but let's go back to Isaiah 66. Isaiah 66 and verse 12. That wouldn't have to be the case with our country. Isaiah 66 and verse 12. For thus saith the Lord, behold, I will extend peace to her like what? River. So the Lord likes to use that illustration there of peace, a river. And the glory of the Gentiles like a flowing stream. Then shall ye suck, ye shall be borne upon her sides and be dandled upon her knees, as one whom his mother comforted. So will I comfort you, and ye shall be comforted in Jerusalem. That's what America could have. But see your time here. I'm going to jump ahead here just a little bit. I was reading about some polls here. And before I give you this information, let's go back to Romans just a moment here, Romans 9. So why did Paul not have this great peace like a river? Well, because his concern, verse 2, Romans 9, 2, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart, for I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for who? my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh. So his desire, the reason he had this heaviness and sorrow in his heart was because his fellow Jews were rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ. They were not saved. So we experience that, don't we? Our lost loved ones. Yes, we have joy, and yes, Paul had joy in his life. But along with that, is that always that sorrow of our loved ones that don't know the Lord. And so we have great joy, we have great peace, but so how can you have both of these feelings at once? Well, if you would look at Matthew 22, and verse 36. Matthew 22:36. Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love who? Thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So, yes, we have great joy. Yes, we have confidence that we're going to be with the Lord, but yes, we also have heaviness in our hearts, sorrow in our hearts for those of our loved ones and our neighbors that don't know the Lord, because we're commanded to love our neighbor as ourselves. How can we not have any sorrow or concern for our neighbors? We must if we love them as ourselves. So I was reading approximately 20% of U.S. citizens. So that represents 66 million people in our country support the idea of a national divorce, according to a new poll. Two Americas, they found out that 1 in 5 Americans support breaking up the United States into two countries based on political beliefs. They think that they're sick and tired of trying to deal with the other side. And so Republicans are saying the Democrats will never listen to conservative views. The Democrats are saying of the Republicans, they'll never listen to liberal views. And so they're ready to just divide, just become two nations. You won't listen, so just go your way and see the end of the trail you're going down. In the poll, there were 64% of Americans who said that there is more that divides us than unites us. 64, that's almost 2% within two-thirds of Americans say there is more that divides us than unites us anymore. Last June in 2022, 44% of Americans polled believe the U.S. is headed for a civil war in the near future. And of course, they're all going at it to politics. But we know what's bringing this on. This division that's coming is because America is no longer united behind this. This has always been what unites us, is the Word of God. And the problem is today is it's been thrown out of government, thrown out of the schools. I just read recently, though, a high school football coach was finally exonerated by the Supreme Court. After his football games, he would go himself alone to the 50-yard line and pray. And after watching him do that, students began to follow him, and people on his team began to follow him and pray. But that was not a requirement. It's just a personal thing. He never tried to recruit people to do it. He always just did it. So the school district fired him. And I forget what year it was, but I think it's been like an 8-year battle, if I'm not mistaken, all the way to the Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court sided with him. It was a personal thing. It was freedom of religion. He had every right to do that after a game. And finally, he was exonerated. And he actually wanted to actually go back to that school district and become the football coach again. And so they finally reinstated him. But the school district is going to have to pay his lawyer bills, and it amounted to, I think it was almost $2 million for lawyer bills. But it's just that anti-God attitude in our country. That's the dividing factor right there. Notice in Psalm 33 in verse 12. Psalm 33 and verse 12. The Bible says, blessed is the nation whose what? God is the Lord, and the people whom he had chosen for his own inheritance. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. That's the problem. We have so many people in high places and so many just Americans, citizens. The true and the living God is not their Lord. And we know what Lord means. It means master. Right here in Eureka Township, there's been situations where people want liquor licenses. And there are enough professing Christians on the township board to have voted that down. And they didn't. It passed. What is the problem? We have this contemporary Christianity. They're drunkards. They're drinkers of alcohol. I was just told, I'm going to do more research about it, but I was just told about an artist, and if I said the name, you would know, but I'm going to do more research and get the facts down. But this artist, dabbling in alcohol and mixed the wrong two alcohols together, and it killed them. And as soon as I heard that, I thought, that is what's going to happen to this generation. There's a young man who, when we just started the church back in 1980 at the Satterley School building, and this family came to visit us, and their son could play the piano, and we didn't have a pianist in that service. And so they were offering their son's services, but he had long hair. And I said, I'm sorry, but I can't have you play. The long hair is a shame to a man, 1 Corinthians 11, 14, and 15. And so a professing Christian family. But you know what happened to that same young? He grew up, he got married. And somewhere in this contemporary realm, he started thinking it's okay to drink alcohol. And you know what? He became a drunkard. And the last time I saw him was we had a funeral down at the cemetery between Greenville and Belding. And I was talking to him then. And you know what? After that, he died. He died, and he was not that old. This contemporary Christian generation that is starting to dabble in alcohol, thinking it's okay, death awaits them. Death. They're putting themselves in bondage. They have no clue what they're doing. So this nation needs the Lord, and we're out of time, but 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. We need a great awakening, a great revival, or we probably will face a civil war. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the peace that you give. But Lord, I pray that there would also be that continual sorrow in our hearts for those that are not saved, lest we forget about them, lest we quit praying for them, lest we quit witnessing. So, Lord, please help us. Help us to have peace like a river. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord bless you. Next service start about 5:30.